taking it back to the day. This is my Genesis block. Taking it back to the day. This is my Genesis block. This my Genesis block.
Three letters to Valence, treating them like us. Told us a bundle, remixing my hunts. Wanting more freedom from world acting clown. Rio gon' float, the fake gonna drown. Shout out Satoshi, never cashing out. If Bitcoin established was the payment route, wonder if Blockstream figured it out, or if the banking system had them all bought out.
Sell out.
I've been on Reddit for wanting big blocks. When did the hackers start giving TED Talks? Scaling solutions, choosing to walk. When fees go up, the banks feel the love. The mining solutions, gatekeeper of sorts. Fashion or reserve like the feds going short. Crypto was freedom from central control. Atomic sauce for freedom from the last resort.
Taking it back to the day, this my Genesis block. This my Genesis block. Taking it back to the day, this my Genesis block. Taking it back to the day, this my Genesis block. This my Genesis block. This my Genesis block.
Vigilantes, I'm here with the one and only Crypto Zoidberg. I think you were the first ZZ for real, right? In all of crypto history, you were the first ZZ. You really were. How you doing?
Yeah, I think so. I've been told that they call me ZZ after some time. I didn't know it.
Yeah, you're the original. You're the OG ZZ. Guys, the original ZZ is one of the... Guys, look, right now, I'm talking to one of the founding fathers of Monero. So, like, think of a country and the guys that were there when they built the constitution. That's kind of like who we're talking to right now. So it's really a pleasure to have you here. And thank you for becoming a public person. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you for hosting me and for inviting me. I mean, and my pleasure to be here. Sure.
Guys, not a lot of people had the privilege to know the inner workings of what led to the creation of Monero. As you guys know, Monero and the community of Monero and what led to the creation of Monero is really the inspiration behind everything that we do at the Crypto Vigilante. Monero became that safe haven. And Monero is loaded with history. There's history within Monero that is very rich. And it's a history that everyone should know about and should learn about, because it will help you to understand and to identify patterns in newer projects within crypto. So I had a very interesting conversation at Monerotopia with, should I call you Cryptozoid still, or
as you wish, Andre or Cryptozoid?
Andre
or just Zoidberg.
All right, sounds good. So I was hanging out with Andre. And he was telling me, he's like, look man, a lot of the things that people complain about regarding new privacy projects, a lot of these complaints, a lot of these arguments, a lot of these, which is good, you know, feedback. Sometimes it's harsh feedback. Sometimes it's just feedback that people, even within the Monero community, that they give to new projects in the crypto space, or specifically in the privacy space. Andre was like, you know what, Raph? The funny thing is that those are very much the same issues we went with through in the early Monero days as well. Right? The fact that there was a kind of a civil war within Monero, the fact that there were differences of opinions, the fact that there was at times allegations of controversy and scandal. But I want to get into, like, first of all, who are you and how did you get involved with Monero? Let's start there.
Well, actually, I didn't get involved in Monero. I was involved in the creation of CryptoNote.
Exactly.
Is it a question about this? So, yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
I was working in let's call it internet privacy company. I was working at the company that was building internet security products, firewalls, anti-malware stuff, and I'd been working in this industry for 8 years. And then at some point I got, I found a new job in New York. I moved to the United States, and nearly the same days I got troubles with Microsoft. They accused me in writing a botnet. So that's led to some loud case, and I lost my job. I came back to Russia. So I started to explore new things, so try to find what I can do, what else I can do. Because the working in internet security was like a kind of ended for me because of this story. So I was trying a few things, and then at some point I got invited into some fintech company. They call themselves fintech company. And there I was introduced in the world of blockchain. There was a small team of very talented people, very talented mathematicians. So they briefly explained me the idea. I was honestly speaking, at the beginning, I was a little bit skeptical because I didn't know, I knew nothing about open source culture. I didn't know about cryptocurrency, about ideas that stand behind the cryptocurrency. For me, it was like, this is some decentralized technology that is challenging to build. Okay, it looks interesting. And then I started to work on this. And that was a absolutely amazing time that I spent with this team. And that was just really exciting. It ended up not the way we expected at the beginning, not the way we talked about this at the beginning. So I, me and some of other part of the team quit after all. But that was one of the best experience in my life. In a technology perspective.
Thank you for clarifying that. So what happens, guys, is that when we talk about Monero, like right now, a lot of the new guys coming into Monero, we forget that there's this huge history before Monero, and that's what Andre was explaining regarding CryptoNote. And that was what led to the creation of Monero. It was the founding white paper. And it turns out that Andre is very close to the Satoshi of the Monero world, Nicholas von Saberhagen. And you're probably one of the only people that I know of that is still in touch with him. So could you share maybe a little bit about how you came to know this, genius, and how he maybe explained things to you about Monero? I know you're very cautious about his privacy. But we are all obviously excited to maybe know him through your eyes, if possible.
I actually asked it. I was trying to convince him to come to Monerotopia between other people, like Incognita, but he was busy with other stuff. I don't know what to say. He's a very humble person, very, very smart, one of the smartest person I ever know. And he educated me a lot. What I knew in the first year when I was starting, he actually was explaining me step by step all things, why it's important, why it's matter, how it works. So he was the person behind the technology. I was just I was just coding something. Of course, we all as a team were brainstorming some stuff, and we innovate all together. But the most important part, the core of technology, that combination of this stealth address and ring signatures, it was his idea, was created in his mind. So he is the really godfather of this technology. I think on my place could be anyone else who is good in coding. And okay. I don't know what do you mean, or what do you want me to tell about him? The personal stuff or what? I don't know.
I mean, there's so much that, like, I think myself and everyone in the audience wants to know. We could probably sit down here for hours just on that topic, because the fact that he's still someone, the fact that you guys are open to talk about this, and that he's open to even share with you and allow you to talk about him, that is very meaningful to all of us, in the Monero community. And I want you to know that, first and foremost, on behalf of the Crypto Vigilante and everyone in our community, I want to extend our gratitude towards you, him, and everyone else that was involved in the creation of CryptoNote. We are very grateful. Thank you. Yeah, you guys have no idea what your work means to all of us, how much everything you guys did in the early days of CryptoNote, how it really saved us, literally, in a sense. It's very beautiful. I'm speechless, really, because you guys did something magnificent. And sometimes I feel like God keeps people from even realizing how big their work is to keep them humble. Because like, you do something and you don't know the effects of what you did, but I'm telling you, man, you guys were involved in something incredible, and probably one of the most incredible aspects of CryptoNote and the cult is the culture that was started around the CryptoNote white paper and the CryptoNote protocol. Something very special came out of that was, in my opinion, personally, more important than the technology itself. Obviously, technology is extremely important because it's what brought us together. But I think there's an aspect of how we relate to each other, even when we have, when we disagree with each other after the CryptoNote white paper and protocol release. A culture of the false ethos was embraced in a way that we had never seen before in the history of computer science, where now we have a financial incentive to keep each other honest and to really bring out from each other the very best. So I want to ask you about that culture that led to things that later on were manifested in like the Monero Research Lab, or manifested in something like Monero skepticism and the skepticism Sundays, right? Can you point your finger and say, this is where this openness and transparency in our work started? Can you point a finger to that? And let me just give you another kind of idea of what it is that I'm talking about, so that you can better understand and maybe better help you with your answer. Is when you talk to someone involved in the CryptoNote world like yourself, someone that was there in the early days of CryptoNote, they are much quicker and open to tell you about possible vulnerabilities in the protocol, in the designs, than they are to tell you and boast about how great their project is. There's a humility. There's a humility there because of the embrace of the false ethos. So where was the origin of that humility? If you like, did it come after CryptoNote? Did it come after Bitcoin? Is this something that we just found later on in history, or did it start at the very beginning?
Honestly speaking, I think I'm not the right person to ask this question, because when I come to work on this project, I was not really educated about all this stuff. I came as just a regular engineer with some technical knowledge, but I didn't have the vision. I didn't have the big picture, the sense behind this technology and why it is created. I think Nicholas himself and maybe the other guy who was a part of the project, they understood this way better than me. And my understanding came way later. I think after a few years, I started to realize what ideas are actually stand behind this technology, why this technology is so important, why privacy is important, why decentralization is important, why it's not possible to take over with some corporation because of the open source culture, and so many things that I understood way later after I created technology. And after we built technology, not me, myself, it's like the team, the whole team. So I think their more vision stuff was about Nicholas and maybe a few other people who was behind this project. My understanding came really later. And what I can remember that at this early days when I started, when I dived into this by myself when I quit Bitcoin, I met a lot of very different people. And by these years, there was way more people who was driven by ideas, not by money, because there was not so much money in this, and there was more about creating some new, I don't know how to say it, world or something, creating the build infrastructure. So, and even first contributors to my project by this time, Bulberry, there was some guys from that was part of Monero too. There was a guy called Author, and he was part of some group. They did a lot of help to my project without any questions. They didn't brag about this. They just paid for listing. They just paid for creating pool. And I knew about this after a few months because they didn't even told me this. They were just contributing to project help, helping behind the scenes. And I actually respect like people like that a lot. And as I can remember, there was also a lot of people behind Monero, people like Author or some other guys that was doing a lot of contribution because they were driven by ideas, not by finance interest or profit. That's my perspective, because this like the last few years, so many things changed, and a lot of things are percepted differently. If I don't know if I answered your question.
I mean, you answered it with the typical honesty that I expect people from the crypto node community to answer. So thank you very much. I mean, no, and that's the thing. There's a lot of humility, you know, when I talk to you guys. I mean, every time I talk to you guys, I get this sense of like, wow, you know, they're very real, you know, and they really embrace the technology in a way that they're not necessarily trying to sell me anything. They're just really there to make better technology and always make it better. And so that's a very, I've always noticed that within the Monero community, the crypto node community, that there's always this, there's always been this, this reverence, you know, I don't know of another word for it, but there's this reverence for pursuing excellence. And everyone seems to be very, you know, very much on top of that. I mean, you yourself at Monerotopia, you had people like, I saw you getting into a couple like debates with people, and those debates were great because overall everyone is pursuing excellence in their own way. So let's talk about your history then, because you were working on CryptoNote and you went on to create Bulberry at the time, right? That was the name?
Yeah, that was the name. I quit Bitcoin and I decided to do what I can to build the project and see how's it going. Yeah.
So the first implementation of CryptoNote was Bitcoin.
Yep.
And then there was a bunch of things. And then, yeah, then Monero came out of Bitcoin. And it seems like the majority of the community gathered around Monero as a project.
First fork of Bitcoin was Monero. Yeah.
Yes. And so the whole community gathered around Monero. Very interesting that like the new entity that comes out of Bitcoin, the first fork, like you mentioned it, is where the community went, which is very, very interesting. Unlike like in Bitcoin history, where you had like the fork Bitcoin Cash, that's not really where the focus went. But in Bitcoin, in Monero, you did see that, which I find very interesting. And so did you fork off Bitcoin with Bulberry, or did you fork off Monero?
You have to understand that by the time it was happening, the first of all, we didn't know how big is the thing that we was creating before Monero. I mean, before publishing it, no one knew. We were working, we did our best, but no one. We hoped that it's gonna be a big thing because there was a lot of efforts and talent put in this project, and we hoped, but we didn't know how big is this, how cool is this. I personally and some other people, they realized the way Bitcoin launched, it leads to nowhere. I understood it, so I talked with the founder and said that I'm leaving the project. I don't want to be part of this. So I just we had agreement that I have to spend 1 month at the project after I announced that I quit. 1 month to finish and find someone to replace me. And during this month, Monero was rising during this day. So I knew that I'm not part of this project anymore. I will be quitting in a month. And I saw how Monero got forked, how community got consolidated around this. And I was watching this and watching, okay, guys, I think it was pretty clear that the first fork that will be created from this technology will consolidate everyone around this because Bitcoin was like dead in the water since the beginning, right? So yeah, I was watching this, and by the time when I announced my project, Bulberry, there was already people who liked the idea, liked the privacy conception, already stick to Monero project. They already started invest their time, maybe some money, mining. So most of the people already been there in Monero camp. And you know how it works in crypto projects. As soon as people invested money, they have a interest, so they stick to the project and split themselves into clans and then fight each other.
Yeah, and I think that, honestly, I think people are growing out of it, but that's unfortunate. You're correct, yes. Okay, so then Bulberry went on to be named Zano. Why did he change the name?
Actually, it's different project. I didn't change the name. We just, with the Bulberry, I made a few bad decisions about the way how to fund the project, how to run it. And like, I think I made a lot of bad decisions there. And it just didn't work. So I started to looking for people who I can do the project together. And I just found some people that agreed to invest money in building new technology on top of Bulberry. So okay, we've been working on this for some time. Then then the guys decided to not continue with this. I found other guys. I found Pavel that we're doing right now. And then we launched Zana. And it's another project. It's not Bulberry, but we did a coin swap at the beginning, one-to-one. So everyone who was part of the Bulberry, they jumped into Zana.
Okay.
And that's other project.
Okay, but let's go back to Monero real quick. While this was happening, where was Nicholas von Saberhagen after Bitcoin? Obviously, the whole community was in Bitcoin. Once Monero came out, where did Nicholas von Saberhagen go? Was he still active at the time of that initial fork?
First of all, when I left Bitcoin, they asked me not to communicate with anyone, and they asked the people who left there not to speak with me, because there was quite a big fight between the management and me, because they was really unhappy that I was leaving. But Nicholas, we stayed in touch with Nicholas, but I didn't ask much about his work, because it was kind of very sensitive information, because we split apart from the company. So I didn't want to touch the subject. He was helping me with consultations. I was asking him questions, because he is like obviously more experienced in crypto, in cryptography than I. I know that he was working on other projects in the same company, not related to Bitcoin, not related to even cryptography. I know that he was working on neural networks or stuff like that.
Oh wow! So that's part of his interest.
Yeah, he is a lot into this.
Okay, so I don't know what to ask you about him. because I don't know how private he wants to be, and I don't want to. So I'm very careful here, guys. I want to know about
him.
He's
very private. I was trying to convince him many times to get on the spotlight, but he, for many reasons, he is not interested in this. First of all, he is not interested to be like famous. The second, perception, because of this, a lot of negativity that was coming from Manera clan for a long time, a lot of very negative stuff. I think he have some, I don't know how to say it, but it's hard to say, hard to explain, but I think this, that's also part of this. So he just don't want.
But that's okay. I mean, it's good to know he's around. It's good to know that he's into cool stuff. Maybe, how about this? I'm gonna have you guys all ask questions in the comments below, questions that you would like to ask Andre. And the next time I bring Andre on to talk more in depth, we'll ask him all those questions about Nicholas von Saberhagen. Because I know people are curious, and I feel like I'm in a pickle, right? I don't know what to ask, what not to ask, because he is such a private person and someone we respect so much. So I rather have you guys give me all those questions, and then we can ask through Andre next time I bring Andre on. I think that's a good idea. So
he's online. I can ask him if he will be willing to answer. I mean, if he's, I don't know if he will be willing to answer right now.
No, we don't have to do it right now. We'll do it next time.
Okay.
We'll do it next time. So I understand that there's a lot of developers, well, not a lot, but there's a good percentage of developers that in the privacy space contribute cross platforms into different projects. And I've also understood that there's even people that anonymously come into a project like Monero and they help contribute code and then they disappear. Is that something you've seen a lot? Like anonymous people come in with a completely new moniker.
Oh yeah.
Contribute and then disappear.
Yeah, that's this is actually the first of all, my first impression, I was really excited when I just started Bulberry. As I said, I never was part of the open source community, and I just faced it that people from other countries are just, they come and they're interested in what you're building and they try to help you. And I was really excited about this. There was few really talented guys that helped me with really great advices and contribution. There was even some professor from United States who helped me to fix proof of work hash function. And that was a lot of help. At the other hand, we have a lot of people who don't take this seriously. They just jump from project to project and want to contribute. They want to just be part of community, have some fun. I don't know. And maybe I have I don't know. Maybe I'm too serious about this, but we take this very serious. For us, it's a full-time job. We don't do anything else. And I personally believe to build something like a cryptocurrency, like if you contribute into the core code base, into wallet, this is so important to be like 100% into this, because there is so many possible attacks. You have to keep in mind like so many things. Even this is not enough. You have to have more eyes watching on your quarter, like some community of researcher. But I mean, if you just jump on the project and start to contribute, we had a few guys, we tried to do at some point, there was a different situations when there was a guys, there was a few years ago when one guy, from our holders, like big holders, he like convinced us to hire the guy with the nickname Anonymal. He was a part of Monero before, but then they split or something, that we hired him, and then the guy created like a mess. We just couldn't work with him. And so at some point he quit. And also we had a few guys who tried to jump into the project, but they don't realize how it works, don't realize that it's too dangerous to make like a commits into the master without double checking. So that's very complicated. So I believe that if you want to have more contributors, you have to get some, I don't know how to say it. It should be people that proven themselves as a good background, and also there should be a lot of eyes who double watch whatever they do, review for every commit. That's a very critical part.
Right on. Yeah, so you know, a lot of what we see right now is that there's a lot of enthusiasm growing around privacy coins and a lot of new privacy projects. Given your experience with the early history and being involved in the early history of CryptoNote, what advice would you give new projects coming into the privacy coin space or privacy protocol space within crypto?
I think I can give I'm not in a position to give a financial advice, I mean, or business advice. I can give only technical advice.
Yes.
And I think it's very important to maintain code standards, high standards of coding, to keep code base in very healthy conditions. I was speaking with the Monero developers that we are spending a lot of time in unit testing. We create basically unit tests for every situation we have. So this give us confidence when we change something, we know that we didn't broke something, or we broke something, that we know what we broke and we can fix it. So I just technical advice, it's create a lot of core tests, and innovation is very difficult. It's very complicated, especially in privacy area. That's so complicated, and I just want to wish luck to every project that starts something new and innovate. And just, I don't know. That's my only advice. Get more reviewers, get more audit, get more researchers invited to your community, and get more unit tests.
That's right on.
My technical advice.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, thank you for your answer on giving that advice to new projects. So the Monero community right now, a lot of the newer developers, they tend to be very hard on newer privacy protocols and cryptocurrencies. But I noticed that you and a lot of the OGs, the old guys that were involved in CryptoNote in the early days, you guys tend to be more understanding. Because you guys yourselves understand the difficulties that people go through in starting a project from the beginning, whereas a lot of the newer Monero developers and contributors tend to come into Monero once everything you guys built is, you know, they inherited all of this awesome stuff. So then it's easy for them to point the finger and say, well, you're not doing this the way we're doing it now. Well, dude, I mean, you know, it's almost like unfair, because when I hear you talk and your perspective, you give me the perspective of someone that was there at the beginning of the of CryptoNote, and you understand the difficulties that new protocols go through, and maybe you can maybe speak to that, because I know that you find yourself in a very interesting situation where you were not only involved in the early days of CryptoNote, but now you find yourself having conversations with people within the Monero community that are giving newer projects a hard time.
I was thinking about advice that I could give after we go on the break. I was thinking that the first advice I would give to anyone that are willing to start a new privacy project, don't start it. That's my best advice, because it's going to explode your brain. Simply because you never know if you did everything to cover all potential problems. You can like wake up in the middle of the night because you just had dream about that you made some critical bug and everything just ruined it in the middle of the night, but it was just a nightmare. And stuff like that happens to you, and you like stress it all the time. You under like so much stress because, I mean, innovation is cool. I mean, I'm engineer. I like it. I like to build something new when you create some new ideas. But at other point, it creates so much pressure on you because even we had so many situations like when you even pretty sure that you did everything good, you check it everything, and then after some time you find out some big problem that no one ever seen and no one knew about this, and you okay, so great that I found it and you fix it, but if someone would find out it and use it in the wrong way, if like if, for example, Manera had also this situation in the early days when was like there was a problem with when you could spend 8 times the same coin. It's like just imagine what would happen if this idea, bad, like this threat will be going into wrong hands, to hands of people who can exploit it. They can ruin everything you do. Like, and I've been building this technology for like 10 years, and it can be ruined like in 1 day with one single mistake. So it puts so much pressure on you. So just if you decided to start new project, just be ready for this, be prepared mentally for this, and maybe have more people on the team that can be helping you, that you're building all together, not one. Because now in Zana we have a team like a team of people, so it's not only on my shoulders, we can do it together. It's way, way better.
And I've noticed that like there's a lot of good communication happening between Monero developers and like Zano developers, and I see the same thing happening with other projects. Like there's a lot of feedback, a lot of communication happening right now.
Yeah, actually I was really excited to meet in person Justin and Core. We had a really few great chats with them, and I really like the guys. They are very open, they're transparent. Core did like an amazing contribution to our work that we use in Zana right now. That's we put a lot in this, and I really like the guys. And when we originally we hired Core some time ago, when he wasn't part of Monero core developer by this time, but right now he is I think he is a big part of Monero development, and I just think this is the way project should work together. Even if they are competitors, engineers should collaborate somehow. Projects should find a way to collaborate each other. And I don't know if Monero ever needed our help, but they probably don't, but if they need help, we happy to also return the favor that Core gave us. So yeah, I'm really glad to see guys like Core and Justin leading Monero technology in the future.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, it's really this new generation of Monero developers and contributors is very encouraging, very outstanding. And so when you have conversations with Nicholas von Saberhagen, since you're out there being public now, having conversations, like, What do you guys talk about in regards to this new generation of contributors to the Monero project?
Yeah, I told him when I was on the Monerotopia, after we had this few chats, I told him that these new developers on Monero, they're really nice guys. They asked me some questions about Nicholas and some technical stuff, and he suggested me about the history of stealth address inventing. I told him that the guys are really cool, and he said, just say hi from me to them. But we are not like that close, so we don't speak every day. I just chat to him about stuff that matters for us, like regarding the whole situation, and not only about development or cryptography, just life stuff. But we are not like every day speaking with him.
Awesome. Are there any other privacy projects that you and Nicholas talk about, or maybe that he's interested in?
I don't think his focus right now in the privacy projects. He's focused more in neural technologies. He more about this, and we don't speak much about that stuff. I don't think he's really into crypto technologies for many reasons. Because also there is a lot of, you know, that if you want to figure out what's happening in the industry right now, you have to follow a lot of social communications. You have to follow Twitters. It's not that clear what are pure technologies are made in what projects. Yeah, there is a lot of speculations, a lot of marketing bullshit. So even for us, it's hard to figure out what projects are making some real innovations and what projects are just shilling you some ideas that would never be implemented.
Right.
And we often actually don't know about good projects for the same reason, because we don't have time to follow all this noise and buzz in the space. So there is often some project that accidentally some of our friends will tell us, and oh, that's interesting. But yeah, that's, I think, one of the reasons he is not in much into this stuff.
So I've always been very much like a proof of work maximalist in a lot of ways, and my friends and I, in the past year, we fidgeted around with the idea of taking proof of work to the place where we use it as a signaling mechanism amongst the noise on the internet, where we put proof of work behind content on the internet so that it focuses our attention and it saves our time. I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe that's something that even Nicholas might be interested in. Because you're right, there is a lot of noise, and as analysts, we like me, I have to look at everything, and it's important for me to acknowledge that the real good projects tend to be very siloed because there's so much noise, and so it's really hard to find those honest signals. And so one of the innovations within the privacy world that has really captivated us was started by Zcash, which is the Z addresses having ZK snarks by default. Then came along a group of developers, some from Zcash itself and others from Komodo, and they started implementing the zero address by default. And it started off as an experiment. These guys were just experimenting with something, and it just took off. And maybe you saw the project at Monerotopia. It's Pirate Chain. What are your thoughts on Pirate Chain? What are your thoughts on using this exotic form of cryptography that's still pretty new, ZK snarks, by default at the protocol level?
We actually don't know much about this project. We know that they created a lot of noise in the space. They created a lot of buzz, and they've been, I may say, that successful from marketing perspective. But we never dived into technology. I think they use some combination of technologies that were present in the space, but I'm not in a position to give any feedback from technical perspective.
Okay, fair enough.
Unfortunately, yeah.
No, that's okay. I mean, and that's the thing is that there's so much happening. And I think Doug Tooman and Monerotopia, they also have this thing where they have to like be kind of cautious as to like what projects they invite to their gatherings. And we do the same for the crypto vigilante and what we teach, but it's because there is so much noise. Another project that we have really grown fond of over the years has been Dero. Are you familiar with Dero? D-E-R-O? I can't quit. No, no. Ain't nobody blessing women. I can't quit. I got the keys of the city. I can't quit.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Familiar.
What are your thoughts about Dero? They're trying something very, they're proof of work. They're the first ones using homomorphic encryptions to be able to have smart contracts.
We missed something, but they declare a lot of absolutely amazing features, but we couldn't find the papers that describe the way they do it, the papers that define what they actually do. And we don't have time to reverse engineer the source code because, I mean, it's really time consuming.
Yeah. I agree with you. Like the white paper that they have out is still quote unquote like marketing white paper. It's very conceptual. They're working on a technical white paper. Which I hope is out as soon as possible. And I know people from the Dero community are going to be listening to this conversation. But I actually spoke to one of the developers recently, and that is on their priority list, obviously. But it's, you do need documentation. I completely agree with you. You know, a lot of developers, and this isn't in many projects, they tend to have this attitude of like, we're just so busy building and, you know, stress testing things. That if you want to understand it, check the code. But documentation is very important. You're right. I agree with you.
Yeah, and we also have problems with documentations because you have to document API. But when it comes to innovation in cryptography, you have to, I think you that would be the best if you write down the math that lie behind this technology, because this lets you to invite other reviewers to like review the theoretical part of the work. And we also spend a lot of time on writing these papers because it's very time consuming, it's hard, and you also get reviewers, they ask you to fix something. I mean, I understand this. Hold on a second. Do you have any input on or feedback on Dero project? Yeah. No, I said that we couldn't find the documentation on what they do. Yeah, but what they declare as a feature, that sounds really impressive.
It is impressive. And the fact that it's almost like when I talk to them, and then maybe you can identify with this, they seem a little bit like they had this project on a testnet for 4 years. Before they launched the mainnet just a couple months ago. So it's almost like they were in testnet for 4 years. So if you really want to understand what they're doing, you have to kind of go into, you have to go into their actual conversations, like on Discord or wherever, and find the nuggets there. So it's like that's kind of like when I wanted to ask you about Dera, I knew this conversation was going to come up because they're working on that document on that technical white paper. Yeah, documentation is important, man. It really is. There's just no way around it. I know it's hard. I know a lot of developers don't like to do it, but it's important, man. It really is.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's a part of you have to have it, especially if you want to get that feedback from others, right? Especially other developers.
Yeah, you need the reviewers because every time you innovate, it's just a matter of your responsibility as a project leader, as a researcher. You have to get the opponents, the people who will be motivated to find the weakness, to find the problems in your... And you normally you give them some rewards or some bonus for that, or you hire someone just to get someone from the space who know the potential vector attacks, who are experienced, and only with this you can get more or less assurance that you build something reliable. I mean, doing something alone is very risky, and that's the long history of problems in different projects proves this.
Right on. So I want to talk to you about proof of work and proof of stake, because you, with your project Xano, you decided to move on to proof of stake. And I want to understand what led you to that decision, and also if you can explain how proof of stake is, how proof of stake is incorporated within Xano and how it functions.
Oh, that's very easy. That's like absolutely simple. My first project was a proof of work. That the only thing existed by the time we launched it. I mean, proof of work was a Bitcoin was proof of work. Monero have the same algo. Then my Bulberry also was proof of work. And you just make a calculation how much the cost of double spend attack, and that's the only argument. You don't need anything else. I mean, that's the only reason. You can easily calculate how much it costs to double spend proof of work project. It's proven. So when you realize this, you just try to find a solution how to save your project. And especially if it's a smaller project, they're more vulnerable for this. So you just, and that's the only reason. I mean, people try to, when there is some beliefs about proof of work and proof of stake, but it doesn't matter. It's a technology. It's led by not beliefs. It's led by numbers. It's led by mass. It's just you have the work, the job of consensus is to secure the transaction history, and that there is a different approach to this. And proof of work was the original idea that was working, but the newest project, they face these problems because they are not dominating like Bitcoin that consume most of the hash power that exists, and that's why it's not vulnerable. But if you for example, if you tomorrow decide to launch the project, and you will be looking into the numbers, how much you have to emit money in the block reward to maintain the history of your transactions, how much you have to create the pressure on the price. If you do this calculation, so you have to provide the buy support for this. You literally paying with the money to someone who secure your history with their hardware and electricity. When you will do this calculation, you will really quick come up with conclusion that proof of work is a technology that is not give you this, not doesn't work with a proof of stake. And there is a lot of confusion because, I mean, people confuse it with the bank system. They create analogy. There was, for example, what started on the panel in the Monerotopia, like how proof of stake is similar to bank system. It's not similar because you pay in a proof of work, you pay block reward to some people that have a hardware, and a proof of stake, you give this same or smaller reward to the people who have coins and contribute with these coins to secure the history of transactions. That's very simple. It's not, it doesn't look like a bank system at all. It's not about that. So I would, if you have some proof of work advocate, and we can make debates online and make it technical, so we can provide technical arguments and see how is it working. I will be happy to be part of this, because I personally don't, not married to proof of stake or proof of work, whatever. If you come up tomorrow with new idea how to secure the history of transaction in some new technology, I'll be the first one who will jump on this. I mean, it doesn't matter which you have to, your job as a developer is to secure the history of transactions. That's it. And keep it decentralized. So the reason why we have proof of stake is this one, because it gives us more resistance to potential double spend attack. That's the only reason we use it.
Okay, right on. Yeah, and a lot of people in crypto tend to think that like there's only one way of doing things, and every tool, it has its own, you know, these are all just different tools and have their own different purposes, and they have their own means of achieving those ends. So I want to talk to you in another, because I want to get into this technology even more next time we talk. But I think for now, I'm just curious to see what people are going to ask you regarding the old days of Monero, so that they better understand what is happening right now in the privacy space, because it seems that a lot of people don't realize that the difficulties that you face, and you're someone that has been there as a crypto entrepreneur twice already, because you've been there in the early days of CryptoNote. Right now, you're working with Xano. And so you're having to deal with this tribalism that like doesn't realize that innovation sometimes needs creativity and new ways of doing things. And I've seen people criticize you for what you're doing with Xano. And from an outsider perspective, to me, it's a little bothersome, because I'm like, wait a minute, just because it something worked for Monero, that's for Monero. But we're dealing in a new time, a new era, a new space, and what the difficulties that you're dealing with now, that your project or another project like Pirate Chain or Darrow, the difficulties that they're dealing with now are not the same difficulties that Monero dealt with during their time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, this is so big. The problem is so big that I think it's because of nature of crypto projects, that the projects have to create money. They print money out of there. Also, another funny thing, because everyone who is in crypto, they compare a bank system and a government. It's a bad example because they print money, but look at the crypto projects. Every crypto project print money out of the air, and it's like ridiculous. And because of this, every project have to sell their coins to maintain security of the transaction history. They have to create a buy support. They need to create a financial incentive, and then people who invested, they have a financial interest in this project. And at this point, they become unreasonable. They stick to the project, they fall into the tribal wars, and then they start to protect whatever this project have, doesn't matter. They just have this stubborn vision. Whatever we have, it's better because I have skin in the water. I have skin in the game.
Yeah.
You invested. You have to prove everyone that your project is better, and then you try to convince everyone that whatever project is have is better than any other project have, and this is where created unneeded resistance and technology improvement, and you can see it a lot of this in Monero Maxi, people who are for some reason their perception of different approaches as attack on Monero, which is absolutely wrong.
Right.
I mean, especially in our project, we are not attacking Monero, definitely.
The funny thing to me is that you are someone that gave them, you are the one of the creators of what gave them what Monero is now. So it's like, it's mind-boggling for me.
Yeah, and then, of course. And
I see you coming into...
the project. And yeah, we are the only project that proud of this, what Monero is doing, because
it's like you're a Monero super OG, and you're coming into the defense of new projects that are trying something new, like Pirate Chain, like Darrow, like your project, Xano. You know, like there was a time, and this is something that I really appreciate from you, that you said there was a time when Monero was faced with the difficulties that these guys that are now criticizing Xano, Darrow, Pirate Chain about. There was a time in Monero history where there was dispute, where there was problems, where there was disagreements, where there were growing pains, there were difficulties. Yeah. And just because someone has a difficulties in trying to figure out how to do something, it doesn't mean that you just throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, what you're trying out is not right, is not the right way to go. You know, it's like, if that was the mindset we had at the beginning of crypto, we wouldn't even be doing crypto. We would just be trying to do dollars a different way or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, But now we face that this creator needed resistance. And because of this, I mean, I have a lot of respect to the community of Monero because they do what they believe in and they have a strong ideas behind this. But in some, when it comes to technical stuff, when it comes to technology, you have to follow the math, you have to follow the science, not your beliefs. That's what I think. And I really wish that Monero has more open-minded people who open for discussion and put the discussion in a very reasonable way. So it leads Monero to innovation, to actual innovation and move it forward. And I had a few conversations with Monero people. I mean, I like Douglas because he's open-minded. He's bringing these subjects to conversations. He created the platform for this conversation, and his contribution is amazing. I believe this is really healthy thing that he's doing for Monero. This is amazing, and this will lead to real improvements. And that's just great.
Like I've seen, for example, I saw something very interesting happen. That I don't know if you realize that you made something happen that I don't think you realize. I'm gonna tell you what you did. By your presence and the presence of your team, you guys changed the way people thought in Monero, at the Monero, not with everybody, but I saw a lot of Monero developers and contributors during Monerotopia move from, at the beginning, they were very critical of the new projects. And then at the end, they were, I'll give you an example. They were like, I saw Monero developers giving feedback to Pirate Chain, like constructive feedback, like honest constructive feedback. And I thought that was beautiful, you know? And I don't know if you realize this, but it was really you and your team. It was your influence. You influenced that dynamic change because, like I said, you're someone that was there at the beginning of CryptoNote, and here you are telling the Monero community, you know, right now in the present day, this new generation of developers and contributors, like, hey guys, there was a time where the Monero community was also a baby trying new things out.
Yeah, that's great, but I think the whole magic of Monerotopia was created by Douglas. I never knew that they have this, or it was first time, and I never had the idea that Monerians hosting events like that. And I think that's really important. We had a lot of very positive emotions after that. I was a little bit stressed because I'm not used to public speaking, but we have a few, like some people was coming, approaching us and saying very nice words. And that was really great.
Yeah, you guys did a great job, man. And I thank you for coming out to Monerotopia, for being open, for sharing, you know, for being that liaison. You really became the liaison between Nicholas von Saberhagen and all of us. So please tell Nicholas von Saberhagen to that if he ever wants to give an interview, that I'm more than welcome to interview him. If he ever wants to go public, he's more than welcome to come here. but okay. Thank you so much for everything that you've done, because you also caused a cultural shift within Monero. You really did, with your presence, with your team, and sharing your experience with CryptoNote. You really changed the perspective. So definitely Doug and Sunita for putting and creating the environment, but you really I just wanted you to know that, Andrew, that you really changed the game, and I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate your words, and really that's really nice. Thank you very much, and we're just happy to be part of this, and happy to share what we know, and happy to know new developers, new generation, and see some new ideas from new developers or researchers. That's really great.
Right on. So as it is evident, I have to bring this to a close. I can stay here and talk to you forever, but where can people learn more about your current work right now? Where can then they go study what Andre CryptoZoidberg is doing?
It's actually what we're doing now is not that about me. It's we have a Val is a key person in our current research. He is doing a real magic in Xana, and we just started a testnet just a few days ago with a new Arcanum thing that that we presented on the conference. By the way, we also will be in the MoneroCon also presenting this stuff, so everybody who is interested, come to Prague. It's going to be, I think, another great conference hosted by Monerians. We have a paper about Arcanum on our website, and we are actually, Val is writing right now another paper that describes how we do confidential transactions, confidential assets. That's full of math. I mean, it's going to be very technical papers. But if you want to dig that dive, here is the papers you can learn about. We are right now, we just launched a test network. So if you want to see from the user experience, you need to wait a few days, probably a week, until we get it's more or less look like a product. Still, we have a lot of bugs right now. So it's going to take a week or 2 weeks.
Right on. So I'm going to gather a bunch of questions for you. Okay. To ask about Nicholas von Saberhagen, I will present them to you.
Okay.
And then I will have you back, and we can go into a deep dive into everything. And maybe, just maybe, I will bring on board somebody to debate you on proof of work, proof of stake.
Oh yeah, that
maybe
would be great.
Just maybe, because I think that's an important conversation to be had. As you know, I'm a proof of stake. I'm a proof of work guy. But
yeah,
I have an open mind. I want to be challenged. I want to see things from a different perspective constantly. I do not want to stay with what I already know, because I know that by having differential knowledge, I will be profitable. If I only have the same knowledge that everyone has, I'm not going to be able to profit. So thank you for your time today, Andre. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me, and would be happy to come back and speak about other stuff.
Let's do it again. And if Nicholas von Saberhagen wants to jump on with you, he's more than welcome.
Okay. I'll ask
him. All right, Andre. Say hi to your team for us. Peace, love, anarchy. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.